We welcome today to our church for this Missions Emphasis Sunday, Jacques and Jeanette Brindamore. We have known the Brindamores for quite some time, maybe a little longer with Jacques than Jeanette, but we have always appreciated their ministry, first in Drummondville and now in a place called Terrebonne, Quebec. And Jacques has planted and is continuing to pastor Église Baptiste Biblique Internationale.
Amen.
In his basement, by the way. They have church in the basement. He showed us some pictures of how they've got the basement all nicely set up for them. And I think you said last Sunday you had about 34 people in their basement. So was a nice service, and we're really happy for them. We have supported the Brindamores since 2020, this second round, as they've been in Terrebonne. So we are so glad and happy to be able to do that, to support them and have them as one of our missionaries in our missionary family. And so we're going to turn the rest of the service over to Jacques, and you take as much time as you want. But we're all leaving at noon, so. Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
I don't know if something's gone wrong with your...
That's all right. We got the key man right here. Before we... Okay. The wonderful thing about the technology is that it works great when it works. And if you're like as old as I am, not that I'm old, but technology can be fun. It's a mean that God uses to challenge your patience. When you say? Okay. I changed computer about a couple years ago, and I realized last night that the first PowerPoint that I had was gone. So I got up this morning early and did a mini PowerPoint of what's going on. In Terrebonne, we've been started the church in Terrebonne in 2016. And we started with 9 people, 3 families, us, the Godin, and the Keturah family. Keturah families, they're Lebanese. They came all the way from Beirut. And we got in contact, and somehow they just linked to us, and we have loved them. So I'm going to show you a little bit this morning on the PowerPoint of the service that we had about a month and a half ago, and just to give you a little taste of what it is like to be in the French service. Okay? Let me see. Brother Dave, how do you get to have it full screen? No? Well, okay. Command F. Well, it's supposed to be bilingual. Let me see. If I go this way. What about if I go like this?
There we
See, that's what happened. They told me, buy a Mac, you won't have any problems. And I'll tell you what, the Lord has used my Mac to stretch my patience. So that's the best part right here. Nothing happened without her. And if you're going to be in the ministry, you need a good wife, because that will make it or break it, let me tell you. And I'm thankful that my wife, Jeanette, has been with me from the very beginning. We started the church, and so thankful for what the Lord has done. Okay, I'll do it manually. Now, are you ready for the French? You have to come and visit for the rest of it. But this was about a month. The reason why I wanted to show you the our chair was eclectic, is a good word. You know, we had a mixture of everything, and about 3 or 4 weeks ago that I called you and asked you about the chairs, and we'll see later on about the chairs. Mrs. Brendamore has been training those two young girls right here. Emma, that's their mom, and Crystal. We got them, they were this old, and now she has trained them, and they're being trained right now to be Sunday school teachers because of the ingrowth that we had in the last... since November, it all started unveiling, and it was one Asian family came, and then another, and then another. So we didn't have small kids like you have them running around. We didn't have any. And now we got 7 of them. So it's like we're having fun, put it this way. And these two young ones here, those are two of our grandchildren. We have to be, because two are expected. We have 15 grandchildren and 2 more to come. So that will do it for a budget, okay? So, but we are thankful for the boys. I'm training the boys to be ushers. We start them young at our church. Mrs. Brendamore's Sunday school class, part of it. So you see we have international, there's, you don't see it on the pictures, but there's Lebanese, Asians, French Canadians. So it's a international. In our home neighborhood where we are, we have Egyptians, Asians, Maroc, you name it, we have it. So I'm assuming it's similar to London, part of it, anyway. So we have a major outreach, and really, when you stop and think about it, it's the world that's coming to our door. And we are thankful how the Lord has used us to reach these people. And this is the new setup for church. We took this picture last week. We bought 40 chairs. Now we're all set up. And this morning, even though we're not there, most of it is going to be all filled in. And we have a Portuguese friend, a pastor friend of ours, who's preaching for me this morning. And the Keturah, Edward Keturah from Lebanon, is doing the Sunday school hour. Now, I wrote it in the prayer letters. If you would pray for the Keturahs, they live in southern Lebanon. And this is where Israel has come in. Edward has two sisters that still lives in southern Lebanon, and they had to drive to Beirut, where they have a condo, and they stayed there. But from what I was told, they're not sure what kind of a home they're going to get when they get back. So, you know, we hear about the war over there, but we don't think of there are people that are involved. And these people, that starts to be close to home. When you have a man in your church, he said, would you pray for both of my sisters? They had to be, Israel have given them a warning, about a 2 hours warning that they were coming in, and they pack up everything in the middle of the night and drove to Beirut. So it's different ways of being waking up, I guess, in the meantime. So if you would pray for them. Tonight we will show you the our trip to Spain that me and Mrs. Brindamore did in November, early November. So that's an incentive to come back for tonight's service. Amen? Okay. Well, let me see. Do I shut this down? I hope I do. It looks nice. That's okay. I'm done for now. The best part should be right now. Amen. Okay. Let's open the Word of God this morning to Revelation chapter 2. Now, in a second, I'm going to give you the title of the message. And don't be surprised by the title, okay? My wife says, you and your titles of sermons, it's just, where do you get this? Well, on Monday exactly, about 10 o'clock, after I had finished getting ready for Wednesday night, I said, Lord, okay, what do you want me to preach at Berean Baptist on Sunday? It's always good to pray about this. And God says, I want you to preach a sermon that you have preached in your own church. I said, okay. Are you ready for the title? If you're not getting in, we will not finish at noon. Promise. Okay. The danger of faithfulness. The danger of faithfulness. When we think about faithfulness, we often hear about truth and error. And in our minds, to remain faithful means we maintain the truth. And we walk in the truth and we avoid error. By the way, that's a good thing. Avoid error. Now, with this distinction, we often think of truth and error as opposite. with a clear line down the middle and say, okay, this is error, this is truth. Now, this morning, I would like to challenge that idea that one side is truth and the other side is error, and being faithful means to remain on one side. Now, Revelation chapter 2, it is going to be our text, and then we'll just go into Joshua chapter 1. But Revelation chapter 2 says, unto the angels of the church of Ephesus, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlestick. I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and thou hast found them liars. And thou hast borne and hast patience for my name's sake, has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlesticks out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, how many of you have heard preaching in the seven churches, Revelations 2 and 3? I'm assuming if you've been in this church long enough, you have heard preaching on it. Yeah? Okay. Now, I want you to think of something when you hear preaching. Think about this way. God is speaking to whom? He's speaking to us. He's speaking through the preacher. Now, when I open the Word of God, guess who's looking at me preaching? God. I'm opening God's book. He's looking at me preaching. And he's either saying, that's right, or he's shaking his head and saying, that's not what I meant one bit. Because he's looking at it. Now, guess who's sitting beside you this morning? God. God. If you've been married long enough and you've been in church, has it ever happened, man, that you hear some good preaching and your wife goes like this? What's that mean? Listen, that's for you, bro. Or the man goes like this and smile, which means what? I think that's for you, honey. I want you to think of it this way this morning. God is speaking. He is besides you. And he's probably saying, I want you to pay attention to what I'm going to say. Do you think that's what he would mean? Amen. Now, let's go, keep in mind Revelation, because we'll come back to it. But I want you to go to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. In the book of Joshua, Joshua is about to take the leadership of God's people from Moses. And God instructs Joshua regarding his mandate in verse 7. And he says this, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee." Now I want you to get this. "Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper in whatsoever thou goest." Have you noticed? And he says this clearly. He says, here's the warning. I want you to obey God's law, and I don't want you to turn to the right nor to the left. I want you to focus, because there's a clear possibility that you may turn to the right, that you may turn to the left. He said that could be happening. Now, Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. I want you to notice the same principle. Now you say, where is he going with this? Be patient, it's coming. That's what introductions are for, okay? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 27. And he says this, "Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from what? Evil." So, and this is saying, don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left, but remove thy foot from what? Evil. So, in order to remove your foot from evil, it is not just about crossing the line, error, truth. It's more than that. Now, have you ever wondered how the devil works? He always gives, when we pay attention to the scriptures, there's always two possibilities. It seems like the devil's always sends it by pairs. You say, I have no idea what you're saying. Okay. Let's go to Revelation chapter 22. Now, if you get the introductions, we'll be sailing for the rest of the message. Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19. "For I testified of every man that heareth the words of the prophecies of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." That's what? One way. How many ways did I say there was possibilities of error? Two. Get this. Right hand. Left hand. You get that? Okay. Verse 19. And he says this. "And if any man shall take away from the words of the books of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city from the things which are written," where? "In this book." Now, to remain faithful, it's not only we say, okay, I'm going to avoid error. We can become so focused on truth that it's almost like it's becoming an added aversions. You say, man, praise God, we're standing for truth, we're standing for truth, we're standing for truth. There's more than that. There's more than that. He said, don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right. What he is saying is, hey, we can become focused on truth, truth, truth. Then we are way out on what God would want us. Now, I want you to get this. Remember how they tried to trick Jesus in Matthew 22, verse 16 through 17. I'll just say it. I'm sure it's going to get back to you. How they say to him, hey, is it lawful to pay tributes to Caesar's? And really, what was the potential? If he says, pay tributes to Caesar, they're going to get him and they say, man, he doesn't love the Jews. And then, if he's only saying, okay, don't pay tributes, then they're going to say, well, he's going to get a brawl against the Romans. So in both ways, he was not what? There was a possibilities of errors on both ways, how he would interpret that. And then he says this, and then and God says, give to Caesar what belongs to him, and give God what belongs to God. See, they tried to trick him with possible how many errors? Two. Now, so this morning, I want to warn you, there are two dangers to faithfulness. And by the way, I'm all for faithfulness. I don't want you to get out of this place this morning and say, Pastor Brenda Moore does not agree with being faithful. That would be mistaken. And I would really be upset. And you don't want me upset. You don't want me upset. Now, there are real dangers. And they are present right now. When anyone that seeks to be faithful to Christ, there's a possibility of left error, right error. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with the context of the church at Ephesus, okay? So, you know it was a good church, and the Lord is walking in the midst of it. The Lord is present in the church at Ephesus. Now, I want you to get something out of this. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And this is where we're going to be spending the rest of our time this morning. Now, these seven churches were real churches. Ephesus was a real church. They had some battles. It was a diverse city. And when you say diverse city, it can come with diverse, all types of idols getting in. There's all kinds of stuff about churches these days. Have you noticed? You know? And it seems to me like it's growing like bad seed. You know? And it's... And people today, like, they try to Google everything and AI everything. And let me just say this. AI does not have all the right answer. No. Thank you, Mrs. Brindamore. It does not have all the answer. Google does not have all the answer either. If you want answers, get in the book.
Amen.
Because that's where it's at. Now, these were, in verse number 1, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus, write these things. He that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. God works where? In the middle of the church at Ephesus. Now, God walks in the middle of Berean Baptist Church, London, Ontario. Now, that's where you should have said amen. But anyway, I mean, I just need to be home for Wednesday night, okay? So I can, I do have some times. But now, I want you to get this. He says, I'm walking in the midst of you. I know you. That's what he's saying to the church at Ephesus. Don't you think that God knows our churches? Does he know that what we are standing for, the truth? Does he know that? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And by the way, in verse number 1, he says, he holds the 7 stars, he walks among the 7 golden lampstands. And you know what? He says, I know your work. Verse number 2. I know thy works. Christ established the church, and he knows every single thing about the church. At Ephesus, and who? Right here. He knows every single thing with certainty, with accuracy. He knows every single one of us right now. And not only that, he says, I know your work. And he says, I know how much you have stood up for the truth. I want you to get this morning. God knows Berean Baptist. He knows it. He knows when it started, and he knows when it's going to be taken up to heaven. He knows that. Now, the truth is about the church at Ephesus is that they had to work hard. And the Lord is saying, I am giving you a commendation for your loyalty, for your perseverance. He says, I know the effort that you have put into his church. God knows the effort that you put in this church. Every single effort, every single ministry, every single time you prepare a Sunday school, every single time you prepare a sermon, every single time you clean the bathroom, he knows about it. And that's good. At first, but probably a year or two after I had got saved, they made me a Sunday school teacher for the 7 and 8 year old boys. I thought, man, you need a policeman. That's why you're putting me there. But I would study all week and get ready for this Sunday school class for the 7 and 8 year old boys. And I'm not even sure they listened to it. And I got to be discouraged. And God said, but I know the efforts that you've put into this. And it's important to me, the effort that you've put into it. And man, after that, it was like, hey, these 7 and 8 year old boys, they may not know what they're missing, but I know that I'm learning. I'm learning. So he says, okay, I know your work, and the word work is related to pain. To pain. Being sorrow through the difficulty, through the pain. And you know what work is talking about? Is he talking about? He's talking about being faithful to God's word when you see loved one walking out without God's word. I mean, man, that's painful. I don't think there's anything more painful for a preacher than someone coming to him and saying, you know what, Pastor? We've been thinking about this, and we need something more enthusiastic. And we go. Oh, yeah? I'll tell you something. There's a lot of churches these days that are enthusiastic. But they don't know anything about the Word of God. You almost need to explain to them who was Jesus. That's how bad it gets. But he says, look, he says, this church, he says, could not stand the wickedness, the false teachers they're saying about the apostles. He says, we found them liars. Pastor Redding, I want everybody to like me. And I say it to the church folks. I said, look, I love you. I sure hope that you still love me after the sermon. And some say, no, we don't love you anymore after the sermon. But that's a different thing. So he says, look, he says, we found them. They are liars. We have stood up against the deeds of the Nicolaitans. He said, which I also ate. God says, okay, I know you stood up against that. I do. And by the way, God knows what we stand for. Can I tell you something? If we want God to say, this is what I meant when I wrote this, God still wants us to hate sin and call it sin. It's getting unpopular to call sin sin these days, but you need to make your mind, we are not here to please the world, but we are here to please Jesus with the church. Amen? Amen. So this is what he's saying. He says, I know your work. I know your pain it is. How painful it is to stand up for the truth and walk in the truth when you would want everybody to love you. He said, you keep strong in the presence of sin. Now, I said earlier that oftentimes it comes in what? Pairs. Errors. Pairs. Here's the first one. And really, when you look at the text, it's kind of hidden in there. But the first dangers to faithfulness, get this, it is to get weary. Weariness. It's easy to get tired. It's easy to get tired. It's easy to get frustrated. It is easy to, the devil starts to put these thoughts in your mind and saying, why am I doing all these things? Can I tell you why you ought to do these things? Because God wants you to do these things. He says, I want you. He said, don't be weary. He says, and by the way, what does it say in 2 Thessalonians 3:13, Galatians 6:9? Both of them, both passages, warns us, be not what? Weary in what? Well-doing. That's the danger. That's the first dangers of faithfulness. You can get tired of serving. You can get tired of serving in the church. You can get tired of preaching another sermon. And by the way, we got the same battle as you do. We do. Don't think that you're the only church that has battle. We do too. I get to be frustrated when I know the people, some of the people that are healthy, don't come to church. Mrs. Redding was asking me, is everybody comes to Sunday school and morning service? I said, yeah, I'm not going to tell them they can come only to the 11 o'clock service. They can come to Sunday school. And I get to be frustrated when I know that so-and-so ought to be in church and they're not. And an old preacher, praise God for old preacher, wisdom. And I would share my heart and I would say, man, I said, I worked so hard to get this sermon ready and this family was not here. But we had three visitors. I was focusing on the ones that were missing and forget that we had three visitors. Finally, I said to my wife, I said, you know what? I'm going to focus on the people that are there. I can't do anything about the rest of them. I'll focus on those who are there. And by the way, I'm going to love them, preach to them, and enjoy their fellowship. That's what I'll do. Do not be weary in well-doing. Faithful, do not turn to the left hand in weariness or to give up your service to Christ. By the way, you ought to have a service in the church. You ought to have a ministry in the church. You ought to be serving one another. Because that's all part of it, of serving one another. Back in August last year, my pastor that I grew up, got saved under, Victor Burrow, died at 3 days before 100. So he almost got there, you know. He would walk in church at FBC in St. John, New Brunswick. And I said to my wife, I said, look at that walker in the middle of the aisle there. I said, guess who it is? Victor Burrow. 98 years old. His daughter was staying with them. Mrs. Burrow's still alive, by the way, over 100. And Becky said to her dad, she said, Dad, because, you know, it was getting slower to get ready on Sunday morning. And she said, Dad, Do you think that God would hold it against you if you stayed home? Boy, those were bad words. He says this to his daughter. 60-year-old daughter, he says this. He says this. Becky, someone in the church may need to see me and pray for them. Somebody in that church may need encouragement, and if I'm not there, it ain't going to happen. 98. My prayer is that God help me to walk in the church with my walker at 98. Wouldn't you say? 98, and he was still being an example to be in church. Now imagine this. You're 34 years old. You're full of strength. You watched the hockey game until 2 o'clock in the morning. You missed Sunday school. And here's Victor Burrow coming to you and said, "We missed you this morning in Sunday school." I don't know, but man, that would cut more than a sermon, wouldn't you think? "We missed you in Sunday school this morning." And he says, Jesus is saying, he says, "I know your work, I know you stand for the truth," but he said, "It's easy to be tired." You may not be able to do the things you used to do. You know that song? But I'll tell you what, as long as we're kicking, we still can do something. Amen. Now, are you ready for the second danger? Are you ready for the second? Okay. Now, what do you think it is? Yep. He says in verse 4 and 5, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first what? Loved." The second danger about after being weary is to forget whom we are serving and to love him. It's so easy to focus on stay, okay, I'm going to stay truth. Do you remember when you got saved and you would read the Bible and God would show you things in the book? Guess when that love goes away? When you get to be tired, sometimes it can get away. But he's saying, hey, love me. Love me. Do it because you what? Love me. You prepare that Sunday school class because you love him. You give sacrificially because you love him. You prepare another sermon because you love him. And by the way, do you know when God stopped showing you things in the book? When you take your last breath and you get into be his presence. Until then, I guaranteed that he will show you, reveal to you his wonderful works and focus and say, man, praise God for his goodness, praise God for his nature. There's a lot of things to praise the Lord for. There's a lot of things. Who is their first love? The love for Christ. I remember after I got saved and I started reading the Gospel of John and started seeing things and you know what? That was in 1980 that God started to reveal things. And guess what God did last week? God still reveals things in His Word. 46 years later, it's not good. Man, he says, be careful. There's a danger of focusing on what is right, what is right. And God says, okay, I know you're doing right. I know you want to do right. Don't get weary and still love me. Focus on loving God. Now, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 10. And tonight we're going to be talking in the Epistle of John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 says this. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He had loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Praise God that He saves what? Sinners. Praise God that He forgives believers that do sin. Isn't that good? Wouldn't it be awful if God would never forgive you after that you have become a Christian? You would say, oh, no. He says, hey, confess your sin, and I'm going to what? Forgive you. Forgive you. You serve Him because it is a pleasure to serve Him. You serve Him because you love Him. I'm saying to you this morning, do not find your worthiness about what people say about you. You're going to find your worthiness in loving God and doing it for God. By the way, God will offer His best to you. When you begin to find satisfactions in the people's praise, you are in trouble. When you begin to find your identity in what you are against, not good. You need to find your identity with the Lord Jesus Christ and His love for you. Now he says this in verse number 5 in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. And he says, I want you to do this. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. That's the change of mind. He says, okay, you've been doing this for the praise of man. Now I want you to do it for whom? For me, because you love me. Repent. Repent. Remember, turn back. Have you noticed the consequences of not returning back, of not repenting? We need to take this seriously. God says, repent and do the first work, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick. There's consequences to it. Let's do it because we love him. There might be circumstances that are completely out of your hand. But inside, that is my responsibility to serve him because I love him. It's easy to do it because we want the people's praise. By the way, God knows what? Every single thing about the church. And guess who else? He knows every single thing about you as individuals. God knows if you love him. God knows if you're doing it for the praise of man. If that's the case, he gives you the opportunity to repent and do it because he first loved you. We're all for faithfulness, but let's avoid the error of the left, weariness, the right, without love. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for your work. We are thankful for your word. We thank you for the faithfulness of God's people. And it's wonderful to be faithful. But the devil is roaring like a roaring lion to devour us. May we find ourselves not be weary in well-doing. Help each one not to get tired of serving our loved ones, serving one another, serving the church. The church that belongs to the Lord Jesus. Help us to love one another. And we will love one another when we have our devoted love to our Lord. Speak to our hearts. If there's something in our hearts that needs to be turned over to him to repent from it, we pray that you will do these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you know what I would say to our people if I was back home this morning at the end of the sermon? I would say this. It's not the end of the sermon. It's the beginning. May the Lord bless you and make you a blessing. Preacher. Sure.